Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church, hoping to get him back in studio here in the next couple of months. And I keep saying that, but I'm going to just keep saying it till I get him back in studio. Our guest for the entire hour today is the head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. He's Eric Tresky. Coach, how are you today?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for your patience, and we laugh about it, but I'm telling you, every time I do Faith in the Zone, something happens with these computers. But, man, it looks and feels like we're good to go. Let me tell you a little bit about why Coach Tresky is on today. One, he is one of the young guns in this area, Division III head football coach. And Eric, how old are you?
I'm 35.
35. Look at a picture. He looks like he's about 25. I'm just telling you.
I'll take it.
Yeah, wait 5 years. Wait five years when, you know, Wisconsin Lutheran, you're a head football coach. Moving over 6 inches on that bench is a long way, brother. And you know that. One of the reasons I have Eric on, I'm a fan of his. He's been on a couple of shows that I've done in the past, my high school football shows. And there's an event coming up at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and I reached out to Rich, who I work with at Wisconsin Lutheran College, on the other side of my business, my job, which is being a sales rep here at Odyssey or Entercom, and said, "Hey, look, I know that you've rescheduled this a couple of times. Can we help to promote it? Because not only on Faith in the Zone, but a lot of things I do really fit well with people that may have interest in coming out and listening to Tim Tebow speak." And he said, "Man, let's sit down and talk about it. I think there is." And one of the things that I asked, I had a chance to spend a few minutes with Rich last Wednesday. I was speaking at the Wauwatosa Rotary Club, which he's a member of, and we sat and had lunch, and then I spoke, and I said, "Hey, maybe what we should do is have somebody from Wisconsin Lutheran College, one of your coaches, come on Faith in the Zone." And he said, "Oh, I got him. How about Eric Tresky?" I said, "Perfect. You know what? He's been on a couple of shows, and with him being a young head first, year one, I guess, right? Year two. Is it year one or two for you?"
It's like 1B. It's been about a year and a half, but we've only had the spring season together.
Man, that's the longest wait anybody's ever had for their opening kickoff, Matt.
Oh yeah, it was long, a lot of anticipation, a lot of hard work put into it. So yeah, it's made this spring season, as much as it's been different for us, it's made it really exciting just to finally get a chance to compete.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to Eric about the template and how to do some of the things he's doing. But this June 4th event, June 4th, it's going to be at the WLC Outdoor Athletic Complex, 1401 North Swan Boulevard. And when I talked with Rich, and he has been, it's so kind of WLC to allow us to be kind of part of this thing, to market it, to promote it, to celebrate it to people on our station here at 1250 AM, The Fan. You can go to WLC.edu-DSA. Divine Servant Award is what Tim Tebow is going to be receiving. And I know I've talked about it, but a couple years ago, my wife Terry and I went to the Tony Dungy event. And that was the Divine Servant Award that was given to Tony Dungy. And from the minute we stepped in fact, from the minute we parked our car, to be honest with you, till the end of the night and we got back into our car, it was a first-class event all the way through. And when we got back in the car, my wife said, I'd sure like to go to one of those again. I said, man, we will. And the speakers were great, and Tony Dungy was good, and the food was phenomenal. And it just really, you walked out of there thinking, knowing that you were doing some really good work by spending a little bit of money, getting a great meal, listening to good speakers, because the money is going for our next generation of servant leaders, of Christian servant leaders. And I don't know if there's anyone higher up on that chain right now than Tim Tebow. And if you listen to this show or you listen to some of the things that I do with high school sports, man, you're probably a Tebow fan. And here's a chance to come and see him in person and get a chance to sit listen to him talk about his life and his testimony and his journey, all at the same time raising money for scholarships that are going to go to our next generation of servant leaders. You got to be, Coach, you got to be really proud of some of the events that Wisconsin Lutheran has done and what they are doing.
Oh, without a doubt. Rich and his team, they do a great job. And I'm not only the coach here, I'm an alum. And I'm definitely a proud alum, knowing that we want to recognize people that are not only doing amazing things in their profession or in their community, but they're living out their faith and they're living out loud. I mean, you talk about Tim Tebow, talk about someone who's really been willing to put his faith on the line in front of everybody to see. It's inspiring.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, Coach, speaking of that, I know, and you said you're an alumni. Where did you grow up? Where did you play high school football, grade school, stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'm born in Milwaukee, and we moved up to Cedarburg when I was a little kid, about 7 years old, and that's where I went. I played grade school ball. I was a Cedarburg Colt. I played for the high school team. Was a Bulldog as well. Played for Brian Lear, who's still doing a great job there as the head football coach. And I grew up in a great place to grow up. Cedarburg is just a phenomenal community.
You know, last year, I used to have Brian on my show a lot, and we would touch base, and we kind of lost communication a little bit. You know, his team struggled for a couple of years there, and last year, our Pick and Save Student Athlete of the Week was a young man from Cedarburg, and I got a chance to give him the award, and Coach Lear showed up at the Grafton Pick and Save. And I got to tell you, Eric, the kids had left. We had about, I don't know, 10 of the players showed. We had some parents show up. Everybody had left for probably an hour and a half. And Brian and I stood in the flower department at Pick and Save in Grafton and just caught up to the point that my phone was ringing. My wife is like, where are you? I'm still at the Pick and Save in Grafton. She's like, are you kidding? I go, no, I'll tell you about it. I'll call you in a little while. And Brian and I caught up, and I'm a big fan of his. I just am. I think he's a really good guy.
He is. He it's funny that you mentioned that. He was just at a practice, and I think I got a similar phone call from my wife because we were chatting so long and catching up. But Brian was really instrumental in my life. He saw some things inside of me that I had not seen. He was willing to challenge me to work hard and understand my potential, and a lot of who I am today as a person and as a coach is because of all that Brian poured into me, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Boy, I'm hoping if he's not listening to this, I'll make sure that he does and he gets a chance to hear that, because you'll find this out, young man. I'm done now. 36 years coaching basketball, but what you just said about Coach Lear is what every coach that's a little bit older, right, just wants to hear once or twice. If you can hear that, those words, that, hey, look, this guy poured a lot into me, and because of him, this is who I am today. That's more important than cutting down the nets or taking home the gold ball. I can tell you that for sure. And I didn't know that when I was younger. I thought, you know, cutting down the nets was the most important thing. And I can remember getting in the car with my wife and kids after the first state championship that I was lucky enough to be a part of. And I got in the car, and the first thing I said to my wife was, "That's it, huh?" She's like, "What?" I go, "That's it. That's it." And she goes, "Yeah, what were you expecting?" I go, "I don't know. I still got to go to work on Monday, right?" She's like, "Yeah, you got to go to work on Monday." But you think, you know, you go so hard to do that. And I just think Coach Lear would really, really appreciate that. We're talking to Eric Treske. He's the head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. And again, throughout this show, we're gonna talk to him about his life and his testimony and his walk and journey. But remember, June 4th, at the WLC Outdoor Athletic Complex on Swan Boulevard in Wauwatosa. It's going to be a heated tent, but they've taken all the precautions that need be, right? The people are going to be spaced. They're going to be away from each other. And it is going to be, for the most part, outdoors, except for you'll be in the tent and heated tent if it's cold. The food's going to be great. Obviously, the speakers are going to be phenomenal. And I can tell you firsthand what a first-class operation that WLC is when putting on events like this. And you will not be disappointed. You definitely will not be. And get a chance to sit and listen to Tim Tebow speak in person is worth the price of admission right there. But they're also going to get you some food. And the reception starts at 5:30. Dinner is at 7 o'clock. The award program and Q&A with Tim Tebow is 8:15. And then 9 o'clock, there's a thing called an afterglow reception with entertainment. If you think you can dance a little bit, then you stick around. I don't know. We'll see if Coach Treske can dance. I don't know if I'm going to be there late enough to see that or not, but I look forward to it. Hey, Eric, when you were playing football at Cedarburg, had coaching come into your mind at all, or was it not till you got to college?
Honestly, it wasn't until I got to college and after college where I really saw myself as a coach. I loved pouring into other people. You know, in high school, I loved training with my teammates and helping them, and I loved tutoring kids and all those types of things. So, like, I think I had a passion to help people for a long time, and I just didn't realize it would be through coaching until I got a little bit older.
And when that decision came, that, okay, you know what, maybe coaching is something that I want to get into. Was it? Did you just dive right in and go, okay, this is where I think I'm supposed to be, or was it a kind of wait and see kind of thing? How did that work for you?
It's actually, we were talking about Brian. My first exposure to coaching at a high level was with Brian. I had the pleasure of coaching with him in 2010, and we had just a phenomenal season. Had a great group of kids. Actually, ended up going to the state championship game and played a really good Wanakee team that year. It was that experience that really made me kind of pause and reflect on what I was doing in my career at the time, and really felt like, you know what, I think God has been using athletics to speak to me in a lot of different aspects of my life, and you know that playing days were now over, and I felt like it was time to use my experiences to help young people discover who they were. And so I was very fortunate. I was able to get into a graduate assistant position at Lakeland University in 2011 with Kevin Doherty and his staff. And kind of God wrote the rest of the chapters for me. So,
hey, who was on that Cedarburg team back then?
So we had Logan Louders. There was just phenomenal
there's
running
the
back
name.
For us.
Yeah, you had Louders for about, it seemed like 15 years there's a different Louders coming through.
Well, his
Cedarburg.
Older brother, Lee, who was a phenomenal player too. So, yeah, the two Louders were phenomenal running backs at Cedarburg.
Hey, I got to tell you before we get to a break, the young man that was our pick and save student athlete of the week was a guy that Brian, I said, "Brian, is there a kid?" He goes, "Yeah, I want to nominate this kid, and I'll tell you why. He's a really good football player, but he got hurt bad his junior or his sophomore year, his junior year, yeah. And so he was then told, "You're probably not going to be able to play. because your senior year, well, because of COVID, everything got pushed back, and he kept getting better and better, and he ended up playing and had a couple of really big games, and then got hurt again. And Brian said, look, this kid is the best. He's the best in the locker room. He's a great student, and he's a really good football player, but he's had some freak accidents, right, freak injuries. And I said to the young man on the phone, and I asked, Eric, I asked all these guys this, hey, what's your dream? You know, where would you like to play at the next level? What's your dream? And it's like Alabama. Okay, you're not going to Alabama, right? Alabama, Wisconsin, Michigan State. And I said to this kid, what's your dream? He said, my dream? And I go, yeah. He goes, man, I'd really like to play at Oshkosh. I go, really? He goes, yeah. I go, wow. All right. He goes, that's my dream, and I don't know if I can play at that level, but, man, I'd sure like to give it a try. So I hung up the phone with him, and I called Coach Cerrone. Sorry about this, Eric. I apologize. But I called Cerrone, and I said, hey, I got to tell you the story. And I told him the story, and he goes, we are the kid's dream? I go, yeah. He goes, hold on. And he put me on speaker, and he goes, hey, I got my staff. Would you tell that story again? And I told it again, and someone was like, I can't. We're the kid's dream. That's awesome. And so they called him. And so by the time I met him out at the Pick and Save store, he goes, hey, do you got a minute? I go, yeah. And he kind of walked me off to the side from where everybody else was. And he said, by any chance, did you call Coach Cerrone? I said, I did. He said, that's awesome, man. They called me like a half hour after I talked to you on the phone, and I knew it was more than just a coincidence, and I'm going to go up there and meet these guys, and, maybe that's going to work, and I appreciate that. So I just thought, how cool is that? A kid, realistic goals, right? If I could play at the next level, I could play. I'd like to go to school at Oshkosh. If I could play there, that would be perfect. We're talking to Eric Treske, head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. You know, if he said Wisco is my was my dream, I'd be calling you, right?
Oh, I know.
Okay. Just so we know, I wouldn't call Cerrone and say, hey, look, this kid wants to go to Wisco, but you might want to take a look at him. He is Eric Treske, head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. Again, throughout today's show, Tim Tebow's coming to town. He's getting the Divine Servant Award from Wisconsin Lutheran College on June 4th. June 4th, the WLCA Outdoor Athletic Complex. It's going to be under a heated tent, but there's, again, all the safety precautions have been taken care of. WLC.edu/DSA. Get all the information that you need. If you want to be a sponsor, they still have a couple of sponsorship opportunities available, but you can reserve your place. And I'm going to be there that night. And if you get tickets after hearing it on this show on Faith in the Zone, make sure you stop by and say hello. And you'll say thank you to me because the meal is really, really good. Again, he is Eric Treske, head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, our special guest, head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. He is Eric Treske. He's a cheesehead, Cedarburg, Lakeland, Wisconsin Lutheran. He is he's a Packer fan and all the things we love about our guys here in this area. And he's given our kids a chance to play football at the next level. And I always I love the fact that he understands – you know, getting kids from the state of Wisconsin to come to Wisconsin Lutheran College is a big deal. And I appreciate that about Eric and his staff. Hey, Eric, segment two is always my favorite. And we get a chance to ask guys about their journey and their testimony. And if you would you please kind of share your testimony with us?
I would love to. It's interesting you talk about bringing student athletes here to Wisconsin Lutheran. This place was a huge part of that testimony for me. And I listened to your show and tried to prepare myself to do my best for this. And I heard a lot of different testimonies, and some of those are kind of the Saul road to Damascus, like all of a sudden they figured it out. And some others you hear are more like Jacob wrestling with God a little bit. And I would say I was probably more the latter. For a long time, I thought that I had things figured out. And then, when I kind of at the time I had was graduating at Cedarburg and coming here to Wisconsin Lutheran, it was just a series of events in my personal life that were just really challenging. I had my oldest son, had him my senior year of high school. I had some different things, I think personally with my parents and financially, we've been evicted a couple of times, all these different things just were going on. And I was wrestling with God and wondering what was happening and what this all meant. And, I came here, to Wisconsin Lutheran, and I remember it vividly. I was sitting in the third row, in my intro to Christianity class with Pastor Strobel. And it was one of the first classes of the year, and he asked us, raise your hand if you think you're going to heaven. And I was one of the few that did not raise my hand.
Mm.
And he didn't make a big deal of it. Didn't call me out in front of it. Why don't you? But after class, he was just kind and gracious enough to say, hey, I noticed you didn't raise your hand. You might take us some time to talk about it. And so we went for like a little walk around campus, and we were just, giving him my background, and we were just talking a little bit. And what he helped me to understand, and it took me a long time, I wish I could tell you I figured it out right after that conversation. That was just the first of many seeds that were sown into my life from just amazing people. But he helped me understand what it says in Ephesians, that it's by grace and grace alone that we are saved. I lived mistakenly thinking that I needed to earn my way to God. And I did not understand that no one can earn their way to God, that all have sinned and fall short, but it's by God's grace, it's by his love that we are called his children, And so over the course of the next few years, I wrestled with questions. I wrestled with, how to make sense of the things that were happening in my life and the lives of those around me. I had people, I can still remember going through the Book of Romans with my friend TJ while I was here, and just helping me make sense of everything. And he did it with such humility and grace. Like he didn't make me feel foolish for asking questions or, asking why. And God was working on my heart in those moments. And I'm just forever grateful to this place for allowing those conversations to happen. I'm forever grateful for the people that were willing to take the time. And honestly, now I'm at a place in my life, I received Christ. I was baptized actually here as an assistant coach in front of my players.
Wow.
Which was really special. And, I just want to live for him. I want people to know the truth that I didn't know, when I was younger. And so any way that I can live out the gospel or preach the good word, I'm going to do that.
Eric, I tell you what, young man, this second segment puts tears in my eyes and down my cheeks like every week, and this week is no different. And I love the fact that you're willing to open up and say, look, this is, this is who I am. On this show, some of these guys, and I use this term, the worst thing they ever did in their life was steal a candy bar. Well, then you got guys like Pastor Daryl Strawberry and myself that were doing some things, back early, that just, now they just don't make any sense to me. But back then, that's who I was, man. I'm 100% Irish, right? I'm the fun guy. And I thank you so much for being honest and talking about that. And are you still in contact with TJ at all?
I am. He's a good friend of mine. He lives down in Racine. He's actually preparing to be a pastor. So God's been working on him for a long time. So I think walk into that calling. So yeah, I do.
Man, Pastor Strobel, you'd still talk to him, I'm sure, right?
Yep, I talked to him. Man. And there's so many people that were a part of my journey here that I get to see and work with now on a daily basis, so it's awesome.
Amen to that. And I love the fact that you said, look, it's not like after, you know, he talked to me for 15 minutes, my life changed. And I agree with that. You know, it takes a while. It at times it takes a long time, and you start thinking, am I making a difference? You know, Coach, when I grew up in a Catholic school on the east side of Milwaukee, and this is a zillion years ago, but they said, hey, here's the Bible, Mr. McGivern. Here's the Bible. You don't have to open it, but carry it when we tell you to carry it. And I went, and I thought that you had to earn your way to heaven as well. And so I had the score clock in this little gymnasium down at St. Peter and Paul Parish. I had it in my head. And I'd get in before I went to sleep at night. I'd say, all right, I got in two fights on the playground today, so I'm minus two, but I helped the lady across the street with her groceries. Yep. So now I'm only minus one. And then I get up and say nice things to my mom. Now I'm even for the day, you know. But then I yelled at that nun. So is that two or one? And by the time I was down, you know, 150, and I thought, forget it. I got no chance.
Yep.
I have no chance. And so when I learned that I don't have to earn it, it's not something I can. How good do you have to be to earn your way to heaven? Who keeps count? And I just thought, I don't know. This is what I was told. So I, like you, thought the same thing. And you know what? Thank God we don't have. I don't know anybody that could earn their way to heaven.
Amen.
I just don't. How? So it's fairly easy, I would think, for you to share that part of your life. If you were baptized in front of your players as an assistant coach, I mean, that in itself is just a big statement saying, "Look, here's who I am. Come on." You know what? I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I'm going to do this in front of you guys. So you must be, you're fairly comfortable and confident inside that locker room to share who you are.
I try to be as transparent as I can with our team. I want them to know that we never have it fully figured out, but we do have a father that does. And we have a father that we can go to in those difficult seasons and moments. You know, I'm fully aware that I have guys on my team that are in very different places in their faith walk. I have some players on my team that are ready to lead. You know, I've got a couple guys that they've been leading and orchestrating these player-led Bible studies, and they're phenomenal. And then I've got some other guys that are still asking just the big questions, you know, and they don't really know where they stand. And I want them all to know that that's okay. But the most important thing is that they're asking those questions, that they're seeking. You know, Jesus tells us, seek and we will find, ask and we will receive, you know. And so I try to open the door for those conversations as often as I can. You know, when I had a chance to interview for the job, I remember talking with my wife, Jasmine. She's an incredible inspiration to me. And one of the things that I said is, you know, if I get this job, I want this to be a ministry. You know, I want it to go beyond just, you know, X's and O's and the things we do on Saturdays. And she's been just an incredible support in all of that.
Hey, where did you guys meet, by the way?
It's not an Orthodox story. So we met online. We met online, and we're single parents. We have two wonderful children, Caden and Jaden, and we met online and had a chance to really discover each other because of our faith. That was where the conversations really began. We were looking for that. We both knew that it was probably where we had gone wrong in previous relationships, and God has blessed us. We actually just celebrated our 2-year anniversary recently.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
You know, it's funny, Coach. Look, I'm at an age where like, meeting anybody online I didn't even know what that meant, right? but it's, I think in today's world that what a valuable, if it's used correctly, yeah, I've used the wrong term on some of this where I introduce people and I go, look, I'm like Tinder putting people together. And I finally had a young guy go, hey, you got to stop using that. I go, what? That's like a dating, like Christian Mingle, right? They're like, no, not even you use Christian Mingle if you want, but stay away from that. And so I didn't still, you know, I had the guy try to explain it to me, but I just shook my head. I've been holding hands with the same girl since the day after you graduated from high school, which was a zillion years ago. And, you know, it can work. And I think people still get a little sheepish by saying what you said. Look, we met online, but thank God that God put you guys together.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind he puts you together, saying, okay, this is a good match. This is exactly who he needs. And let's be honest, you know, I've seen pictures of your family. You got a beautiful family, young man, but you even got to shake your head sometimes, right?
Oh, he's blessed me more than I can imagine for many reasons. But yeah, if you're alluding to my wife and that she's beautiful, I would agree.
Good. Okay. Good. Yes, that's where I was going with it, but I want to do it in a nice way here for sure. We are talking to the head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. And part of the reason we have him on today is this event on June 4th. And they're trying to get a final count in the beginning of May. So I wanted to make sure we got this in the end of April, this show, Friday, June 4th, the Divine Servant Award Celebration. And Tim Tebow is going to win. He's going to be presented with the Divine Servant Award from Wisconsin Lutheran College. He will be the guest and the head speaker, he will be the guy that's going to draw a lot of people in. They're going to have a couple speakers throughout the night. And my hope is the president of WLC will get up because he's a really good man. And I know him from being on the sidelines for some high school football games. And I ran into him when I was meeting with Rich a couple of weeks ago on campus. And we talked for about a half hour. And he does a great job of really talking about the mission that WLC has and how they believe they're going about their business. And it is really a good story. If you've not been on that campus, take a look at it. This night on with Tim Tebow on June 4th is going to be at the Outdoor Athletic Complex. If you haven't been over there, it's a pretty cool place. Really quickly, Coach, what time do you guys practice, by the way? Because, I'm doing this whole workout thing now, and I'm really hitting it hard, but it's at 4:45 a.m. out in Waukesha, and I live right by the complex. So it's 35 minutes out there, and it's this Burn Boot Camp on Meadowbrook in Waukesha. And I'm driving back sometimes, and the lights are on.
That's probably our soccer team. Our soccer team, they've got a great grind, man. They work all hours of the day. They're passionate. We're usually in the afternoon. We're fortunate we get the prime time, typically between like 4 and 6. But, yeah, our soccer, if you can see the lights on, my guess is it's one of our two soccer teams.
And I told Rich, I said, hey, Rich, you guys must be, like, having all this money because people they keep forgetting to turn the lights off. He goes, oh, no, we turn them on. We got teams practicing.
Yep.
I said, no, it's 5:45 in the morning. He goes, yeah. I go, are you kidding? He goes, no, that's, you know, that's what we have to do because there's so much going on and there's high school teams that utilize the facility as well. And so, no, that's what happens. So the lights are on because people are practicing. And I thought, man, one of these days, if that's the football team, I'm going to go over and start making fun of Tresky. But you know what? I'm full of sweat, and all I want to do is get home and take a shower because it's just been ridiculous. He is Eric Tresky, head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. And, again, if you get a chance, go to wlc.edu-dsa. And you will not be disappointed. If you go to that event and you're disappointed, call me. Let me know about it. And you're not going to be. The food's going to be great. The speakers are going to be phenomenal. And you're going to feel really good about supporting a place like WLC when you listen to Tim Tebow. And he's the guy at this point. If you're willing to stand up and say I'm a Christian and you're a sports fan, Tebow's the guy that everybody would like to talk about and have as your son or have your daughter hang out with that guy because you'd feel pretty good about that. Eric Tresky, head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College, will get. I've got a bunch of questions for him on the other side of the break. At the end of the show, I'm going to ask him what uniform. I'm going to put all the uniforms he's ever put on in his life, and he gets to play one more game for that team. What uniform would it be and who would he play? We'll find out. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. I'm enjoying this show a lot. Our guest for the entire hour, Eric Treske, head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College, and loved his testimony. I just did, because, look, growing up, very few of us do everything right. In fact, I don't know anybody do everything right. Nobody I hung around with certainly did, and the fact that he figured it out, and I want to thank a couple of people, you know, TJ, who is his buddy of his, and Pastor Strobel, who I know over at Wisconsin Lutheran, to be able to just take their time and allow him to ask the questions that he had, because I think that's really, really important. Eric, I've told this story 100 times. Division III, if you've been listening to some Faith in the Zone shows, go back and listen to Mike Lightfoot. Mike is a Division III basketball coach in Indiana, all-time winningest coach. And he said, look, I was great in the locker room and sharing my testimony. I was great talking about my faith. And once the door opened up and I was out in the public, I struggled. And he bought a book called I'm Not a Fan. And he bought the bracelet, which said I'm not a fan, for $3. And he was in the grocery store and a lady walked up to him in the produce department and said, who aren't you a fan of? He said, I'm not a fan of Jesus Christ. And she goes, excuse me? He said, I'm not a fan because fans sit on the sidelines. I'm a follower. Can I tell you about it?
Wow.
And he goes, Mike, that $3, he said, I have 100 of these now. And I never leave home without it, but it's opened more doors for me. And he said, and I think the Lord's timing was not that I have to say the correct words, but just to be able to calmly plant the seed. And he picked the perfect time for me. And I keep going to that story because it had such an impact on me. Because as coaches, I think we're really comfortable in the locker room. We've been in locker rooms our whole life. And to be in that locker room with these guys that we're either coaching or playing with, pretty comfortable in there. But then out in public sometimes, it gets a little bit difficult. And I get a little tongue-tied. I don't know if you do, but I struggle at times with that.
Yeah, no, it can be a challenge. I think we're all okay in whatever our safe space happens to be, you know. And like you said, for us as coaches or athletes, it's the locker room. I think for a lot of us talking about faith, it's, you know, we can talk about it inside the church, but you know, you go to breakfast right after. Are you going to be willing to talk to the waitress? You know, it takes a lot of courage, and God calls us to be obedient, and I think we got to be prepared for that. That being obedient means that we have to die to ourselves in our comfort zone a little bit, and when we do, we see amazing things happen, you know.
You know, a couple of things. I read a few articles that the couple of guys that had interviewed you over the years, and, you know, one of the questions was, which coach had the biggest impact on your life? And you talked about Brian Lear at Cedarburg, and we talked about Brian in that first segment. Later in your answer, you talked about a guy named Jeff Treske, who, I'm telling you, Eric, I'm as big a fan of Coach Treske as there is. And when the first time I met him was a Thursday Night Lights High School football game of the week. We're out in Maguanago, and it was Waukesha West against Maguanago. And I knew about him, but I'd not met him. And I was on the sidelines, and I'm looking over there, and I'm thinking, man, there's Jeff Treske. I really should say hi to him. And he walks over. He goes, hey, Mike McGivern, I'm a huge fan of yours. And I go, are you kidding me? Like, hold on, man. I was nervous to come talk to you. He goes, what are you talking about? And I've had him as a co-host. I've had him on Faith in the Zone. I've had him in studio. I've had Rhonda in studio. I'm such a big fan of Coach Treske, and as you are, it looks like.
Oh, he's had such an impact on me. I've been so so fortunate to be able to coach with him in his camps now for the better part of a decade. Mm. And the impact that he's had on me, he had an impact on me as an athlete, as a young man, but now as a coach. And there's a phrase, I think, that just embodies coach. I think you may have heard it. It says, preach the gospel and use words sometimes.
Amen.
And that, when you, if you've ever met Jeff Trickey, he embodies that to a T. I mean, the way that he engages with people, he genuinely cares about everyone he interacts with. And, you know, his camps really take a lot of pride on teaching young men how to use their gifts to be leaders. And it goes well beyond football. And I'm forever grateful for Coach for allowing me to be a part of his camp family and for all the lessons that he's taught me over the years.
My favorite part, I did this Coach's Wives show. And Rhonda came in studio, and there's another coach whose wife knew probably more about football than her husband and me combined. And so I was talking to her, and she was talking about helping, you know, breaking down huddle and setting up game plans. And I went to Rhonda, and she said, look, I'm still not exactly sure what first and 10 means, but I can really throw a great pregame party, and I'm really good at the postgame. And I absolutely fell in love with her. Like, I was just like, Rhonda, you are the best. She goes, I know I'm in the stands, but I'm very busy. So I'm pretty sure I could tell you what first and 10 means, but I might be wrong. And I just thought, that is awesome. Here are two women totally in love with their husbands, right?
Yep.
And really want to be part of what they do. But Rhonda's like, I guess he's pretty good at what he does. That's what people tell me. But nobody can do a tailgate party better than I can. And I just was like, that's awesome. And you could just tell when she talks about Jeff that she just is so much in love with him, and he with her. And yep. It makes guys like us, you know, I'm quite a bit older than you are, but they're just a little bit older than I am. But that you can see that there are people that continue to hold hands, and you go through these peaks and valleys at times. But man, at the end of the day, you know, her heart is his, you know?
Yeah. No, you talk about life goals. I mean, I look at them and their marriage and the way that they've supported one another. You know, one of the coolest stories about Jeff, I don't know how many people know it. I mean, he was a really, really good head football coach.
Really good.
And he came to a place, I mean, probably at the pinnacle of his success, where he kind of realized, you know what, like what I coach and teach about, you know, which is faith, family, football, I'm not living it. And he stepped back from his passion because he wanted to put his family first. And if you know Jeff, you can see why he would do that. And it's just, that's so powerful to me that he was willing to make that move and show his family how much he cares.
And you, how hard when you're at what you think is the pinnacle of where you want to be, and every time you walk into a clinic or you're coaching a game, everybody is saying, man, that's the best. He's the best. And you're right. And he was there when he stepped back and said, look, I need to get my priorities in order. And coaching football right now is probably not what it needs to be, the number one priority, which, you know, as coaches, sometimes we get kind of those blinders on, Eric, and you know that. I mean, you know, you've been in this game a long time, and you start kind of forgetting everything else that, you know, is really important to you. And I know I did that for years, and that's for sure. And my wife did say, hey, now that you've retired, you're still at home very much. I'm like, I know, but I got things to do, people to see. Hey, Jasmine, was she a sports fan when you guys were dating?
She was. So she was an athlete in high school. She played basketball. That was her favorite sport. So she definitely was a sports fan, and she knows enough to be dangerous in conversation. And it's really cool. The other night I was breaking film down, and she wanted to watch and got, okay, so tell me about this play. And you know, she was getting into it. So she's so supportive, so encouraging. She's my rock. I mean, I'm Amen. So thankful I have her in my life. And we balance each other in so many different ways.
Hey, Eric, I'll tell you this before we get to a break. When look, I hit rock bottom, and I needed to go talk to somebody, and I went to Eastside Baptist Church, where my wife went to church, and walked in, and I kind of knew the pastor. I said, I need some help, and he said, I knew you'd be here. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I didn't know when you'd come, but I knew you'd be here because your wife has been praying for you for years. And though, man, I thought, look, it's so important to surround ourselves with godly women. And I don't know where I'd be without her. And it sounds the same with Jasmine. And I love that. And I love the fact that she was a basketball player. So she's the smart one in the family. Right?
She's a smart one. She can hoop too. We'll play some family horse and stuff like that. She'll hold her own without a doubt.
Man, that's awesome. I love that. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk again. Eric Trusky. We're going to find out what uniform he would pull out of that closet. Do yourself a favor if you get a chance. WLC.edu-DSA, and we've talked about it throughout the show. But Friday, June 4th, and they're going to try to get a final count sometime at the end of that first week in May. So if you're thinking about it, you want to sponsor the event, or you just want to come to the event, you want to pay the ticket and come on in, have a great dinner, listen to some really good speakers, and understand where the money's going. It's going to scholarships for that next generation of servant leaders that are going to come through Wisconsin Lutheran College. And understand, we're going to keep some of those here in this area. And they're going to be the future leaders of our society. And we're going to give a chance here to listen to Tim Tebow and his walk and his testimony on Friday, June 4th, WLC Outdoor Athletic Complex. Get a chance to meet Eric Trusky. I'm sure you'll be there, right?
Be there without a doubt.
Yep. Get a chance to meet Coach Trusky. If you've got a son who's a really good football player, he'd probably want to talk to you a little bit. That's for sure. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world.
Well, welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week, and our guest, and he's really good, Eric Trusky, head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College. During the break, Jasmine, if you're listening, the Tebow event, you're out. I'm in. I'm your date. I'm Eric's date. I'll tell you what, you could do much better than me, but there's some things that you're going to get a chance to do as the head football coach over there that I'm not going to be able to get a chance to do. I am coming to the event, going to enjoy dinner and listen to some great speakers. Hey, Eric, were you a multi-sport athlete?
I was, yeah. So I played basketball and baseball. I ran track for a year in high school. I was involved in a lot of different sports.
If I told you that all the teams you ever played on from, third grade on, but it doesn't matter what sport it is, and I took every uniform you ever put on and I put it in the closet and said, pick one out, what uniform and what game, who would you play against?
Oh, who would I play? Okay, well, now that you brought that into it. So I would definitely wear my Bulldog uniform.
Attaboy.
And we would play Germantown, the Germantown team that we played in 2003. They were a tremendous opponent. That was our last football game. We played them in the quarterfinals. It was, like, I think 14-6. It's crazy how you can still, like, vividly remember detail. I mean, I can still smell the grill at DACA Stadium. I can remember the pregame music, the everything, man. I'd go back to that day because that was, even though we lost, that was just such a powerful memory and such a great time competing with them.
How'd you play that game? Did you have a good game?
I played all right. I had a goal line interception that I will regret. I could have ran it in as I look back on it. It was a slant arrow. The DN peeled out, and I could have ran inside him, and I tried to force it. So that would be one play I'd take back. But, yeah, I played okay.
The fact that you remember that. That, you know, and look, it isn't. I don't know my nieces and nephews' names, but I can tell you that when this kid hit a shot from the wing with 4 seconds to go, I just know ridiculous stuff like that.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, but I remember the defeats way clearer than I do the wins.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish it didn't work that way. But
me too.
They just stick with you.
You get wins and you just go, okay, we should have won that game. Okay, what about the next one? Hey, I have the chance in the next couple of weeks to officiate a wedding of a girl that I've known a while, and she works at Kern Electric. And it's really funny because she could care less about football. And I'd see her on a Friday. I'd be over there doing some work, and she'd be like, what's going on this weekend? And I said, well, it's high school football season. I do the scoreboard show Friday night till 10 o'clock, and then I'm back in the studio and doing high school football. And she'd roll her eyes and say, come on. And then all of a sudden she was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I've got this football stuff. How's Kewaskum going to do? I go, what? She says, I'm just wondering. I go, well, hold on, let me look. Yeah, I think they're going to do fine. They're a really good team, well-coached. Oh, they're well-coached? Yeah. Okay. Next week, how's Kewaskum going to do? I go, hold on a second. What's going on? Well, I'm dating a guy named Bobby, and he's on the staff. I go, you're kidding me.
Awesome.
She goes, can I ask you a question? I go, yeah. She goes, so the staff, these guys talk about the game all week, watch film, practice, then they play the game. Then they go out and talk about the game. And then they talk about the next day. And then they start talking about it. I go, yeah, welcome to the world of coaching right there, right?
Yep, nonstop.
It is nonstop.
I will say this, though. That's what I love about sports. I think we were talking before about testimony, and I think the way that God works into your lives. God speaks the language that you understand.
Amen.
You know, like you think back to like the day of Pentecost, and he used all these different languages, and all these people suddenly understood that God was calling to them. I think sports are one way that happens, you know, and it's such a powerful tool to help people. And so, like you said before, when we were talking about Jeff and the decisions he made, like we can't play sports above our faith or above our family. But when we learn the power that sports has to speak love into people's lives, it's an amazing thing.
You know what? That's called a mic drop right there. I can't do any better than that. This young man, I'm telling you, what a great decision I think Wisconsin Lutheran College made to promote him to be the head football coach, to be the face of this program. And you're going to see some amazing things from this program in the next couple of years. And I look forward to seeing that. June 4th, don't forget this event. Tim Tebow's coming to town. Divine Servant Award Celebration. Go to wlc.edu-dsa, Divine Servant Award, to get all the information you need for that Friday night, June 4th celebration. Coach, thank you so much. Young man, you know that I was a fan of yours before. I'm a huge fan of yours now, and I look forward to seeing you on June 4th.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
You bet. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 a.m., The Fan.
'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose.